Okay, so we're continuing in the Sefer Talmud Devorah, and we're up to the second Mida, Nosei Avon. And Nosei Avon is going to be actually a continuation of Miel Kamocha, in terms of God's withholding of punishment, God not acting out immediately to punish. So this is growing on, this is expanding on that. And the Talmud Devorah begins, he says, V'harei zeh gadol me'akodem. This midah of Nosei Avon is greater than the previous midah. Sharei lo yasa adam avon, shelo yivram mashkes. Because when a person sins, he creates a mashkes, a destroyer, a destructive angel. This is found in many, many svarim, this idea. It's nine, he points to a mishnah in Pirkei Avos, ha'ober avera achas kone lo kategor. Someone who violates one of Eri, they just bought for themselves, they acquired for themselves one kategor, one prosecutor, one angel who's going to prosecute them. Loss of life. Bare also kategor, omer lufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, omer ploni asani. That destructive angel is standing up in heaven in front of God and he's saying, this guy, ploni, he's the one who made me. The embryo is kayemis ba'olam ela b'shifo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We spoke about this last week. And nothing in the world, no being, nothing can exist without the flow, the shefa from Hashem, meaning God is the one who's willing everything, including these beings, into existence. And this destructive angel is standing in front of him, and how does he exist? I didn't know saying Shiyomar Kodesh Baruch Hu, any zon machkisam yelich edzel misha senavi is pines vimenu. So, according to Midas HaDin, strict judgment, God should say, you're not my problem, why should I sustain you? Go to the person who created you and he'll sustain you. Right? Well, please, you can stay up in heaven and I have to feed you, I have to take care of you, go to the person who made you. And this destructive angel would descend from heaven and take your neshama, or curse, or cut you off spiritually, or punish you, until the angel sort of is battle because he did whatever is keneged, you know, the avera that created him. So that would be midas hadin. Hashem would just send these angels down towards us, and they would attack us endlessly for every single avera. They would suck the life force out of us, literally. God does not do this. Ella no say v'sovel ha'avon. Rather, he bears the weight of the sin. He's willing to bear the weight. The sovel we spoke about last week. We spoke about last week in terms of well, we'll explain in a minute how I think it relates to what we spoke about last week. Ukemoshu uzan ha'olam kulo, and just as God sustains the entire world. He says, "No, I'm gonna sustain this being also, and you, therefore, you human beings, you don't have to sustain the evil angels, the destructive angels that you've created. I'll sustain them until there are one of three outcomes that eventually we're gonna take it over. Oh, Yeshu Hakodeh b'tshuva, the sinner can do tshuva, and he can." Consume and be mevatel, nullify the angel through sigufav. It means either his lashing, you know, whipping himself, or other types of penitence, of fasting, things like that. But basically, tshuva. Tshuva is one way to destroy these angels. Option number two, yivad lehu shovei tzedek b'yisurin u'misa, or Hashem Himself can be mevatel through giving us yisurin, or eventually misa. Oh, yelch b'gehenim v'sham yifrachov. Or if a person dies and there are still angels there, then he's going to have to go to Gehenim, and there he's going to have to pay his debt. V'ainu shamar Kayin. This is what Kayin said about a few weeks ago. God alavon even so. After he killed Hevel, he turned to God. He said, "My sin is too great to bear." What did it mean, too great to bear? Uperush Rabbi Sanu zechronu levracha. Kol ha'olam kulo atasova. Right, God, you sustain the whole world. Here it says on Mefarnes. Right, I mean, if you want to, you can sustain this as well. Right, and now someone says my sin is too great to bear. You can't bear it. Perush leparnaso ad shashuva atakein. Meaning, you can't bear it till I do tshuva. Then once I do tshuva, you're in the clear. Imkein harezu midas savlonas gedola sheyazun viyafarnes Bria Rosh Abara Kote Achi Rosh. This is the midah of patience of God, that He's willing to sustain, literally bear the weight of these evil angels that we've created until we do tshuva. So it's a great.
Does that mean that He holds them back?
Not only holds them back, meaning they need some sort of spiritual sustenance. They're evil, and therefore, so Midas Hadin says they should come and take that from us. But God says, I'll provide it. You know, I'll pay them off, right? I guess Lahavdu would be if someone, let's say, took out a loan from a mafia boss. And he doesn't have the money to pay the mafia boss back, so the mafia boss would either kill him or take all his money. So he has his father, and his father says, I'm going to hold them off. You know, I'll pay the interest or whatever it is, I'll hold them off for a long time. So that's when Kosh Baruch is holding them off. Lahavdu. So, but this is greater than what we spoke about last week. Last week we spoke about savlan, patience in terms of withholding anger. Right? Not getting angry in a situation that one might normally get angry, one might be justified in getting angry, not getting angry. Here it's further than that. It's not only not getting angry, it's, you know, in the moment, it's withholding that anger for an extended period of time to give people the, well, Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving us the opportunity to fix it. Right? Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving us the opportunity to be metaken the avera. It's a much greater level of patience. Much greater level of suffering. And that's what it says here. Right? Talmud Torah continues, Yomur Adam, a person should learn from this midah, Kama Tzarek Shia Savlan, how patient one has to be. Lisbol Ol Chaveiro, Fero Sav Shehera. He has to patiently bear the weight of his friends or those who have wronged him. Ad Shir Kazesh Adain Ra'aso Kayemah Shechadu Negdo. To this great extent, that the evil that this person did towards him is still there. The person has removed it, you still have to be hold back. Not just in that initial moment, but for a continuous extended period of time. And you have to be patient enough and give the person a chance to fix it. Every situation is different. That might mean a week, it might mean a month, it might mean years. It might mean years that you have to give people the opportunity to change, the opportunity to fix that which they messed up. But even if they don't give an indication that they're looking towards fixing it, give them that opportunity. Because that's what a Kadosh Baruch Hu does for us. That's what it means, no seva. So,
this has been very much in my mind the whole week.
Yes? This idea of not jumping
for sure.
To.
Totally like.
Yeah?
On the edge with every situation. I can see like Hashem's like testing me.
Yeah, you feel it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What,
more aware,
you know, what's amazing is that.
It's like whenever you're, you know.
Once you're aware of it.
Receptive to something, yeah. It's like.
Meaning, you know, it would just fly by you, it would just happen.
You can't say too much because I'm being recorded. But, I whole issue over Shabbos.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, maybe we'll tell,
I perceive something.
Sorry. Yeah.
I perceive something and
great. I
wanted to say something to people, but
you held.
Chose not to.
And how do you feel that it was the better?
I'm not sure. We'll see.
Okay, we'll see. Sometimes
it's not like the halachic tokacha issue.
Okay.
Like, whatever. It's a little bit too much.
Something that I'm saying.
Too much talking going on. During a park dog, it's not been any talking.
Okay.
But
so
I was aware of it.
Yeah.
But the patience means.
Exactly. I think that's the most important akuda of Musar is that it elevates your awareness to certain situations and certain things that are going on around us or going on within us.
Right.
You know, at all times, and we're just not always aware of them. Certain emotions that we're not aware of. But then, the second you learn
right,
about
or you're aware of it, but you react so quickly, you don't even
right.
like...
You don't process it.
You're processing
sort of,
that...
It's instinctive.
That there's the choice to
right.
react or not react.
Absolutely. So some of the sources that were brought here in the Maamar Makomos, source number one is from the Shlach HaKadosh, the Shnei Luchos HaBris, of the... It's a voluminous work, many, many on Shas and Halacha, Kabbalah, really a vast work. So he, here, it's called the Shahar Otsios, and it's sort of like a mini encyclopedia, but he goes alphabetically and he discusses different topics. So in the Ayin, he speaks about Anava. And one of the Pratim within Anava, Osei, he speaks about Savlan, so does patience. Savlan Achar Hayacholos. What does that mean? Let's explain. Kvar Noda Gdulas Midas Savlanut. It's already known the importance of the attribute of patience. Umisha Elo Yecholot Limkom Vizobel Ainz Nikra Savlan. Someone who doesn't really have the ability to act out against someone. For example, the President of the United States did something against me. Well, there's nothing I could do in response. So you don't say, well, Eitan, you're being really patient by not reacting harshly. No, that's not called patience. That's just called I'm not in a position to respond.
Right, I mean, you could write a letter. But
I could write a letter, but I don't know how far that's going to get
White House,
me.
Exactly. Comment line.
Exactly. Keep al karcho so well, because that's against your will. You have to be patient. You can't do anything. It's called exhibiting patience when you have the ability to respond. You have the ability to either get angry or whatever your response might have been, and you withhold that. That's called patience. This is very similar to our idea to Moshe Cordovero in terms of we learn these midos from Hakadosh Baruch Hu, right? Don't come from outside, they come from a Kaddish Baruch. That's where we get them from. And he quotes an interesting source. Hasovel umalin ayin misorim. The lo hayecholos baruch hu. Because a Kaddish Baruch Hu has the ability to respond whenever he wants. It's a Kaddish Baruch Hu.
Right.
And the fact that a Kaddish Baruch Hu is going to withhold that response, that's what we should ultimately learn from. So where is he quoting from? He's actually quoting from Yom Maron Machzor, right? It's in the Piyut V'chol Ma'aminim. Right? So the Chol Ma'aminim, Shehu Notzer Chesed, Hasovel Umalim Ayin Masorim. What does that mean? He's patient and averts his eye from the rebels. He's patient with people that rebel against him. Plain and simple. So that's the Shlo, which I think is echoing the exact same idea that we're seeing in the Talmud Devarim. That you see this Midah from a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and that's what we have to try and imitate in our lives. He adds that important nekuda that you're only really expressing savlanut if you have the ability to do something in response, which is an important nekuda. The Rambam actually has this discusses this in Hilchos Deos. I brought the whole halacha here, but the key line for us is what's underlined. This is Hilchos Deos, Perek Beis Halacha Gimel. So now at the end says, "V'derech hatzadikim hein aluvin ve'ena olvin shomim cherpasam ve'ena meshivin osime ava usmechem b'yisur." It is the way of the righteous that they are insulted, but they'll never insult. They'll hear people disparage them, but they don't respond to anything. Rather, they act out of love, and there's a sense of simcha when they receive Yisurim. So this is really the Derech HaTzadikim that the Rambam is describing to us in Hilchos Deos. That the Derech of Tzaddikim is not to react. This Rambam, like all Rambams really, ultimately comes from a Gemara, which has a story that goes along with this. But the point is that this is one of the ultimately important midos that the Rambam has in Hilchos Deos, is that, and it's not easy to achieve such a thing. To hear someone attack you, it could be in public, could be in a certain environment, could be either very embarrassing or whatever, but the Derech of Tzaddikim is not to respond, not to just, you know, jump back and into a shouting match and he said, she said type of thing. Rather, you walk away, you say, you know, I'm very sorry, that's your opinion, and you leave the situation behind. And because the second you respond, what have you done? You brought yourself to that person's level. But when someone walks away, you step away, you're saying, you know what? That person's going to wake up tomorrow, and they're going to regret this. They're going to think, what was I doing yelling at? How was I acting? Right? You don't have to wake up with anything on your conscience, right? You don't have to wake up with anything because you didn't act like a gobel chayim.
Right.
The other person was acting like a gobel chayim. That's what I'm saying. You're patient, and again, like the Shla HaKadosh said, like the Talmud Dvorah is saying, this is ultimately the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts with us, with his creations, and that's what we have to react with his creations. And there's a nice story that's quoted in the Gemara and Brachos in Source 3 that also really connects to this. This is a story with Reb Meir. Hanu b'yune d'habu b'shvavuse to Reb Meir v'habu kom mitzaru le'tuva. there were some hooligans in the neighborhood of Remeir, and they were bothering him, as hooligans tend to do. That's what they do. So happy kaboy Remeir rachme aluyu kihechidu lemusu. Remeir was davening that they should die. He davened they should drop dead. They're bothering me. So that's separate question that comes out of this Gemara is such a thing possible? You could have someone to die? What do you think? If you were God, would you listen to someone saying, well, this person should die because they're bothering
not.
You?
I mean,
right? You would think not.
I would think not, but
you would think not. So that's why it's fascinating, because it's just an unbelievable Gemara. The Gemara says that the mother of the Kohen Gadol,
I was going to say that's the only right they would.
Right? She would bring cookies to the Erni Dachas. Why? Because the people in the Erni Dachas.
Erni Miklat, right.
In the, not Erni Miklat, sorry, Erni Miklat. No, thank you. Erni Dachas is a totally different story. Into the Erni Miklat, right? She would bring cookies to the people in the Erni Miklat. Why? Because people in the Erni Miklat, they only get to go free, they only get out of jail free when the Kohen Gadol dies. So the Chora, they're going to die before the Kohen Gadol dies, because they want to go home, get back to work, whatever. So she would bring them cookies so they wouldn't die for the Kohen Gadol die. So it's like, hello, look, these guys are, they're murderers b'shogeg. I mean, shogeg, but it means they were negligent. The people that are negligent in people's lives. And the Kaddish Baruch Hu is going to listen to their prayer that the Kohen Gadol, who goes to Kaddish Hashem every Yom Kippur, that he should die. Unbelievable. So either you have to say one or two, either it tells you something unbelievable about the Koach HaTfilah. That's first and foremost. It really tells you, like, the, you know, Ad Heichan Koach HaTfilah. That davening is such a, you know, it could have that power. The right type of tefillah can have that power. I'm not saying every Joe Schmo on the street can attain such a tefillah. But the fact that such a tefillah can be reached is one important message. So I think it's related to this Gemara a little bit. So Amrale Brurei Debesu, Remeir's famous wife, Bruria. So she said to him, "My Daitka, what are you doing? What are you thinking here? Mishum Diksiv Yitamu Chataim, because you think, oh, it says that you should destroy Chataim. Miksiv Chotim. Does the pasuk say sinners? Chataim Miksiv means sins should be destroyed. Chopped off the end of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Remeir said you're right, and so he's davening that the sins should be destroyed, and Rashi says the Yitzhahara, Pashas just means the sins. And what happened? They became Bali Tshuva. Kabbalah. But what do you see from Remeir? You see from Remeir that in life, you know, you're in a situation, people are either insulting you, bothering you, attacking you, right? So first of all, one weapon that you always have up your sleeve is fear. That's step one that you see from this command. That is also something that should not be overlooked at all. And anything we have in our life is only b'siyat v'shmaya. And even to overcome a challenge, to get through a difficult attack or whatever, even that's going to be through siyat v'shmaya. And the part of the Tzad Shmaya comes through tefillah. So that's one thing, is to turn to tefillah. And part of our tefillah should be focused on the people who I'm having an issue with, the people who are attacking me, the people who are causing me trouble. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should help me, you know, become shalom with them. Either let them recognize, let us meet in the middle. Well, that's part of what Sim Shalom
after
is.
After Sim Shalom, the Hiratzon.
Oh, in the Hiratzon. Yes. Part of the Hiratzon.
Yes. About, like, you. Yes. Anyone's plan to be
nullified
against
me. Right. There you're thinking about people that are mamish like out to get you, right. It sounds like. But yes, it's certainly possible. The truth is that it would have been relevant last week, because in the Nusach Svar version, they speak about the Kosh Baruch, you should help me not to get angry, and it's in the kind of talk. Yeah, they have a much nice, it's a little bit long, but it has a nice extra liner through the Elokaina Torah in the Nusach Svar. But again, I think part of it is davening that I was thinking Sim Shalom when you said that, or Reina Van Yenu, right? What's Reina Van Yenu is that we have we're having difficulty, we're having fights in our, you know, things like that in our life, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us resolve that. That's we daven for that. We daven for that every day. So that's what you see from Remeir it's something worth davening for. Worth davening for the tzaros we have in our life, the people we interact with in our life that are creating difficult situations for us. So we could daven that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should help us out the Shmaya to alleviate those situations. The reason I brought Ali Shor tonight is because Ali Shor of Volbi, classic work, so he speaks about one of the earlier pieces of the book. He speaks about there are four things that every Ben Torah has to do. So number one, he says, is all the Mishnah. The Jew has to learn the Mishnah Berurah. And number two, he says, is Kumish with Rashi and Rambam. That every year, for the basis in Machshava, you have to learn Rashi. Fine. And number three is, well, go out of order. I'll get to number three in a minute. Number four is, Mishnah Sharm. You know, the foundation of all works of Musar, everyone has to learn Mishnah Sharm. Number three on the list is, you need to learn Pirkei Avos with the parish of Rabbi Yonah. Rabbi Yonah was the cousin of the Ramban, and he wrote a very popular commentary on Pirkei Avos. And Ravolvi says this is one of the Yesodos, one of the big four in his book that you have to learn. So we're just going to quote one piece of Rabbi Yonah in a minute. So the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, in Perek Beis, it's always tricky finding the Mishnayos because they're always broken up differently. So on the Bailan they break it up one day, and the Siddur they break it up another way. You never know. So here it's Mishnah Tes. I saw some places Yud Aleph, but it's some. So Amar Lahem Tzuru Ezri Derech Yishara Sheidavik Bo HaAdam. Gotta find them. What are the five? What is the proper path that a person should cling to? So Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ayin Tova, good eye. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Chaver Tova, good friend. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shachin Tova, good neighbor. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Haroa Es Hanola. Person should always see what's going to come from his actions. And Rabbi Lazar Omer, Lev Tova, good heart. So Omer Lehem, Roa Anies, Rabbi Lazar Ben Arak, Shabbat Varav, Dvarim. I like his pshat the best because that incorporates everything that you just said. So this is where some people chop it. Some people have this in the next mission. The next mission, what's the Derech Ra? And again, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach says Lev Ra, and he likes that the best because it incorporates everything. So Rabbi Yonah, trying to understand what is a Lev Tov. So he starts, he quotes the Rambam. Rambam Zal, Perish Zuhi Malas Tikkun Amidos. Lev Tov means someone should always be working on the Midos, like we saw in the Gra and Mishlei and many, many other ideas towards this, that a person should always work on the Midos. The Fiyuv, should they also, shall Adam, Novos Min HaLev, right? Because a person's Deos, they flow from a person's heart. It was man shalibo tov kol midos of yisharos for deos and nechonos din p'sameach b'chalko. When a person, if his heart is shalem, if his heart is good, so all the midos, all the attributes that are going to come out from them are going to be straight and proper, and we'll see it's going to be sameach b'chalko. And then he's explaining why everything else, all these other midos are incorporated in it. Because he's mitchaber im hatovim, he's going to connect to good people, have good friends, good neighbors, right? And he's only going to engage in activities that are productive and they're not wasteful. So Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't think the Rambam is wrong in terms of what he said. That's a good idea. It's a nice idea. But he doesn't think that's pshat in the Mishnah. What's Lev Tov? I personally would not have come up with that pshat. If I was writing a commentary on Pirkei Avos and you'd say explain Lev Tov, I might have had, I certainly like the Rambam's pshat, I might have had 15, 20 other pshatim before I came to this one. But Rabbeinu Yonah, the Galuso, he saw right through all those other 20 pshatim. He zoned right in on what he thought pshat was. And once pshat, that you're not katzaruach. You're stavlan, you're patient. Umitrachek means hakas umeshiv b'man arach. Distance yourself from anger, and you always answer softly. Right, when a person is wronged, He'll bear that weight, he'll be patient, and he won't respond bitterly. And that's, again, what we've been speaking about from the Talmud Devorah through the Shlo and the Rambam, right until here. Rabbeinu Yonah says this also on the Mishnah. So you see, and he says this is the ultimate midah. This is the, again, what's the Lashon in the Mishnah? Derech Yisharei Sheyidbak B'Ha'adam. Meaning, if you have one thing, this is what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying. If you had one trait that you could tell someone, what's the most important midah to have? Rabbeinu Yonah is saying, you know what that is? Be patient. How does that incorporate everything? Right? Because again, the Mishnah says this incorporates everything else. Right? So we'll go from easiest to slightly more difficult. First of all, Haroah es Hanola, like Reb Shimon said. So someone who's patient is always able to be Roah es Hanola because they don't live in the moment. They're not living a reactive life. They don't react to what's going on around them.
Right? Down the line.
That's what being patient allows you to do. It allows you to see down the line. It's exactly what being patient allows you to do. Chover Tov and Shachar Tov. Right? So, how's being patient manifest itself in this realm? So, I think there are two ways you can suggest it. One way is really what comes back to the Talmud Dvorah, that what do we have to learn? We have to be patient with people around us. Right? Our chaverim, our shcheinim, our friends, our neighbors. If you're patient with people, ultimately they'll be a Chover Tov. I think that's one tai chi. Ultimately, if you're patient with people, and people see you're willing to, you know, put up with something. You know, listen, everyone in this world has shtick. Everyone in this world has their own shtick. Their own things, their own hakpadas, and what bothers them, and they don't like this. And, you know, this is, you know, people were in the Funak in the days of the Gemara, you had istinesses, you had all different types of people. So we certainly have that bizmanazan. But it's the person who's patient, who's willing to, you know, tolerate. I mean, you think about it in your own life, your family, your friends, right? You know, everyone has their own thing, but it's that ability to tolerate it, and that's what allows us to forge these relationships. So someone who's able to tolerate that will ultimately create a chaver tov, create a shachar tov, be a chaver tov to someone else. As opposed to, if you think the opposite, like the Sefer of the Mishnah has, right? If you have a Lev Ra, so Lev Ra is the exact opposite of what Rabbeinu Yonah is talking about. That's going to be someone who's Katsa Ruach, someone who's a Koe, someone who gets angry very easily. So of course that's going to include Chaver Ra, Shachin Ra. I mean, you're someone who, like we spoke about last week, you fly off the handle every second, so of course you're not going to have good friends. That's clear. And in terms of Ayin Tova, in terms of having a good perspective on things, it goes back to the Roah es Hanola, someone who's patient. It's going to give them, you know, the patience will give them perspective. The patience will allow them to see things that other people can't see because they're so caught up in their moments. And that's why this midah is very fundamental. It's greater than just not reacting in the moment like we spoke about last week. It's being patient, sitting back, taking a long-term perspective on things. So that's what Rabbeinu Yonah is driving home with this mission, which again is, he's saying, this is the one thing. If you're going to pick one midah, one path,
this is it.
To follow, this is it. The last source, it took from the Siddur, the Matzor, in Ne'ilah, the Shemona Esrei at the end. Remember, in the Ilo, we always say we don't. We just have one Hashanah. We don't clap all Yachetz. It's too late by that point. It's Harpana Hayom. So, but there is a paragraph that we do say. So, jumping in the middle here, right? Well, here right at the top, but it's in the middle of the paragraph that begins Atah Hivdalta Enosh Meirosh. You separated man from the beginning. So we say Atah Berachamecha Harabim Rachem Aleinu Hamrosi Anas Hashem. We know that you don't desire the destruction of the world. Because it says you should seek God when He is found, when He's around. Whereas the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Darshan says, Eser Semei Tshuva. Call out him when he's close. Right? So what does this mean? What do you want, God? You don't want to destroy the world. Rather, you want the Russia to abandon his path. And again, you want the... Sorry. You want the Ish Oven, you want him, this is someone who has evil thoughts, Machshavos, you want him to abandon his thoughts. The Ashov El Hashem, you desire people to return to God. Birachman, you'll have mercy on them. V'Hashem Kev Elzlach, and they should return to God, because you are abundantly merciful. V'Ata Elokas Likos Chanum Rachum Erech Apayim Rav Chesed V'MS. Right, this is the related to our Sefer, obviously, in terms of the Yud Gimel Midos. This isn't the Micha version, this is the Shemos version. Right, Umar Belehitiv, you have abundant goodness, God. V'Rotza Ata B'Tshubas Rishon V'Ein Ata Chavetz B'Rizasam. You want Rishon to do tshuva. That's why you're willing to be patient. Everything is willing. Why is God so willing to be patient? Why is He willing to be sovel, to be zan, to support these destructive angels that we create through our sins? Because God desires us to do tshuva. He wants to give us that chance. Right? If He would set the destructive angels upon us, we wouldn't have that chance. We'd lose that chance. But God wants to give us that chance. Shene'emar, and more alehem chay ani nu'um Adonai Elohim im echpot b'moz ha'rasha ki im b'shuv rasha b'darko v'chaya shuv shuv d'achachem harim v'lama tamusu b'es Yisrael. So this is a pasuk in Yechezkel. And he's telling Yechezkel, tell them, I don't want them to die. What, do you think I want them to die? Do you think I want the Rishon to die? I don't. I want them to do tshuva. I want them to return. Turn back from their evil ways. Why should they die? And again, it goes on. God, we know you don't want this. We know you don't want the destruction of evil. You want them to do tshuva. And again, just jumping to the last sentence. You're the forgiving one for the Jewish people. What does it mean for us? It means that in our interactions, we cannot change other people. This is what Stephen Covey calls in the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. There's my circle of concern and my circle of influence. There may be things in the world that I'm concerned about, but they're outside my circle of influence. I can't change them. One of those things is the way people around me act, or the way people around me act towards me. It's out of my control. I can't change that. But what's in my control? How I act and how I react to them. That's in my control. That's the meaning that we have to take away from God. If we truly, when someone wrongs us, so part of us just wishes they would just, drop that on the spot. But that's the part we have to conquer. And we don't really want that. What we do want is resolution. And we want to work it out. We don't want to have enemies out there. No one wants enemies, right? Halavai, we should all get along. Right? Halavai. So first of all, we spoke about how that's something worth davening for. You see from the story with Rameir and Brachos. But also that we have to give them an opportunity to change. We can't change them. I can't change anything. I can't. It's a limitation. But that doesn't mean I can't have an impact on that person. And the best way to have that impact, or at least one of the most meaningful ways, is to be patient. Because over the long term, the odds are is that that person is going to recognize what they did wrong and change. You know? And in their relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, they'll do tshuva. And hopefully in their relationship with people, they will, again, repair that relationship. There are a lot of similarities between our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our relationship with Ben Adam L'Chaver. Tons of parallels in terms of tshuva. And we also have to think about it from the other perspective. There might be people in our lives who we've wronged. And maybe they're being patient. And maybe they're waiting and they're saying, when's Plony going to come in? And ask Bechila for what they did to me, because it really still is bothering me. When are we going to repair, that damaged cheshbon? And to take a minute and take a little bit of a cheshbon, I'm going to say, who can I reach out to? We sometimes only think about these things during the Aseret Yom. There's no reason to only think about it then. It's a fun, it's a sugo for tshuva, but we don't have to only think about it for that. We have opportunities every day to think about the people who we could repair relationships with. People who we might be the cause of the damaged relationship. So I think these are all just some of the ideas and some of the important thoughts that come out in this second midah of No Se Avon.